And we're coming into Acts 8, or Acts 7. Well, Acts 7 to 8. And we're really just finishing up with Stephen, who was stoned, which is a major turning point in the book of Acts, because this is when Israel's opportunity to go into the kingdom has been cut off. So right now, with Stephen stoning, that was their kind of a critical moment when that opportunity, just like when they went into Kadesh Barnea, that they were not able now to go into and accept the promised land, that opportunity was, the door was closed. And when God closes the door, it's just impossible for them to go back into it and accept it. So we have some things that where God was dealing with Israel for the last 1,500 years. And he was very patient with Israel, as we well know. He sent prophet after prophet to her to announce what he wanted. And so usually when a prophet shows up, it's because they were in a sinning state. And so God had to bring them back and tell them to shape up, or you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And then he would show or tell them what the consequences would be. So there was a specific timeline for Israel that God laid out, and especially if we talked about Daniel a little bit, and so there was a specific timeline, and Israel was working under a prophetic program that God would take and laid out this program to Israel and showed her, this is what you're going to have to do, and this is what I'm going to be doing. And so it's just laid out perfectly for them to understand. They were obviously under the Mosaic Law. They were given specific promises or curses, depending on what they did. And so these promises and curses, something that many people apply to us in the church today, which don't apply to us at all. They try to take Israel's curses and promises and bring them into the church, the body of Christ, and but make up their own curses or promises somehow. But if we take a look at, just real quickly, Leviticus 26 is a chapter that talks about what God is going to do, whether Israel follows the law or if they back away and don't follow the law. It starts out with, you shall not make for yourselves idols or set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar and so on. And then in verse 3 it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I will give you rains in the season. And it goes on, and all the blessings that they're going to experience if they walk in the commandments that God gave them. But, verse 14, if you don't obey me and do not carry out these commandments, then it goes into all these, there's seven courses, I believe, of curses that are going to come to Israel. And God says that these things are going to happen. In other words, God laid out exactly what's going to happen to Israel if they didn't obey him. We also, there's actually a number of Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, 1 Kings 8, 22 through 23 at the dedication of Solomon's temple, and also Numbers 9, 14, Isaiah. So there's a lot of verses that talk about the blessings and cursings that will come to Israel if they do certain things or don't do certain things. And so that was, and anyone who needed to become, or if they wanted to come to God, what did they have to do? They had to come into Israel. They had to be united with Israel in order to come to God. There was no way for a person to come to God outside of Israel. Now that's something that most people don't really fully understand. Exodus 12:48. Exodus 12:48 says that if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near to celebrate it, and he will be like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised may eat of it. So in other words, they had to become like Israel. If they're going to be living with Israel, they had to act like Israel, and if they're going to celebrate these things and come to God and be obedient to him, then they had to become as Israelites. Numbers 9:14.
Christianity.
Yeah.
For 1,500 years, that was the case. Or 2,000 years.
For about...
Babel.
It was, for about that... with Israel, with the forming of Israel, is about 1,500 years up until Christ or so. Up until Stephen.
Wouldn't that be the case all the way from Abraham on?
I think it was not going through that nation. In this case, God narrowed it down to the nation. Before that, he was dealing with Gentiles, and they were open to believe him and obey. But before Israel was formed, remember, the whole world was Gentile. There was no special nation that was pumped up or given status in God's eyes. It was only until until the Gentiles failed at the Tower of Babel, that God then raised up Abraham and eventually the nation of Israel. And when the nation of Israel came into being at that point, then God was dealing exclusively with Israel. So I think it started when they came out of Egypt. Numbers 9:14. If an alien sojourns among you and observes the Passover to the Lord according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, he shall do. You shall have one statute both for the alien and for the native of the land. So they had one law basically for the two. They had to come in to be like Israel. They had to do those things that God expected Israel to do if they were going to come and be like Israel. And Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56:6 is also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds my covenant. Now we're bringing in not just Israel, but we're bringing in those who are outside of Israel. And those outside of Israel would be the foreigners, those who were not part of Israel. And so they needed to join themselves to Israel, and that was their connection to God at that point. They couldn't join to God outside of Israel. Ephesians 2:12 also talks about this time of Gentiles coming into Israel, what they were like outside of Israel. It says that, remember that you... talking to Gentiles at that time, were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promises, having no hope, and without God in the world. Well, that's people outside of Israel. If they weren't connected to Israel, they could not come to God. Now, I'm bringing this all up because we're seeing a big change here in Acts. Before Israel was cut off, before Israel fell, anyone that wanted to come to God had to come through Israel. And if you understand that, then you'll understand the great change that was coming in with the Apostle Paul. Because with the Apostle Paul, there's no distinction between Jew or Gentile. And he says that specifically because before that, there was a huge distinction. Israel was a very special nation. Israel was through whom God, the nation through whom God was going to communicate to the world. And Israel was the nation that anyone who wanted to come to God had to come through and become part of Israel. Let's just take a look at a couple more. Esther 8:17. Esther 8:17, and in each and every province and in each and every city, whenever the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there is gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday, and many among the people of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. So there was a process where they would become Jews. They could be part of that nation, and they could join that nation, so the Gentiles could become as Jews. And that's what that verse just shows us there. We also see in Acts 2, we won't go there, but Acts 2:10 talks about the proselytes, those that were coming into the city for the Passover, that they were proselytes. In other words, these were people who were not native Jews, but had become Jews. And so that process of becoming a Jew was understood by Israel. They understood that people that wanted to come to God, they had to become Jews, and they had to become into that nation in order to meet God. And so those who were not part of Israel, and of course many nations wanted nothing to do with Israel, therefore they could not come to God, and they were basically lost. There was no way for them to be saved apart from the Jewish nation. Even Cornelius, you remember, he was very friendly to the Jews, wasn't he? He built synagogues, and so he was one that gave them money. He was friendly towards them. He was called a proselyte. They kind of split proselytes into two groups, proselyte of the gate, which was kind of a friendly to the Jews, but not becoming full Jewish. I haven't really studied that much. But there was processes of becoming a proselyte, and so they would end up using this process to become part of Israel and to be able to then come to God. That was their only pathway to God. Now that's critical to understand in Acts here, because before Stephen was stoned, anyone that wanted to become part of, or wanted to reach out to God, had to become part of Israel. And so at this point in time is when things are starting to change. And Israel is not going to be the nation that people have to be part of. And as Paul comes on the scene, well, we're going to see great changes. And these changes are basically laid out so that Israel, who was the top dog, they were the only ones to come to God, is you were going to see that great fall come to Israel. And they're going to have this fall when they had rejected, here it was Stephen, and Stephen was stoned. We see that great fall in Israel, and that fall that Israel experienced. Now remember, there's a difference between a stumble and a fall. In Scripture, the stumble was at the cross. They stumbled. They stumbled over that rock of offense. That rock of offense was Jesus Christ. They stumbled over Him. But they continued on, and then they fell. And we'll see that in Romans 11 when we get to that in our Roman studies. That fall of Israel was that time when they rejected what God was offering, and they did that at the stoning of Stephen. So at the stoning of Stephen, we saw that fall of Israel and their downward, there's actually about a 35-year fall, if you will, during that time. They lost the kingdom at this point. They lost the opportunity to go into that kingdom. But we're seeing things that are confusing because we don't, there's very seldom a break given between the nation and the individuals. Nationally, they fell. Not all the individuals. So nationally, there's a fall. The nation of Israel is now no longer going to be able to go into the kingdom. However, individual Jews are still able to be saved. And that's what we're seeing now at this point. We're kind of in this in-between time. We've got Stephen, who had fallen. The nation of Israel is now unable to accept the offer of the kingdom, but we're still seeing the gospel message being preached. And the gospel message is,
believe on the Messiah, repent, be baptized, believe on the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
The good news of the kingdom. For a while, anyway. The good news of the kingdom is still being preached here because nothing else is there to preach.
So, for those 35 years, there still would have been Jews that would have been Israel people, but being the Jews saved under the gospel of the kingdom?
I believe so, yeah. However, that kingdom offer at that point in time has been put on hold. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on. In God's viewpoint, I think He sees a distinct cutoff. In our viewpoint, we see kind of a sliding. It takes a long time. When Paul was saved, and Paul was saved a little bit after Stephen's stoning, and we're going to be talking about that in Acts 9. So there was a gap of time. Well, there's still people being saved. There's still a gospel message that's being sent out there. even though they lost the opportunity to go in the kingdom, they still could become part of the little flock of believers. And so they were then brought into that little flock of believers until the Apostle Paul was raised up. And now he becomes the pattern. He becomes the first one into the body of Christ. He is the example of those who are going to follow him. So you can see there's changes going on, but yet there's confusion in here because in fact, some people say that, well, there were two gospels being preached in here, one about kingdom and one about the grace. I don't believe that's the case. I think once God cut off Israel and raised up Paul, that once he started preaching, that anyone that was saved after that, even if they heard the gospel of the kingdom, would come in with Paul and come in under Paul as their pattern. It is confusing, and it's hard to really determine what's going on because there's a lot of different things going on here. However, what we need to know is that during this time, that Acts is a confusing time, and you can't get your theology out of Acts, even though many people do.
I guess this probably clears up a little bit, because at the starting of Stephen, he talks about the gospel of kingdom being cut off, but in reality, anybody saved under the gospel of kingdom after that for a short time will still be part of the kingdom, but it's future instead of happening then.
I believe anyone saved before Paul was saved would actually be a part of the kingdom.
The point is, at the stoning of Stephen, God says, okay, the kingdom now is cut off. We're not going to go into the kingdom now. We're going to go 2,000 years of grace, and we're going to move the kingdom out to the future.
Right. That promise of the kingdom is still coming to Israel. It's just been delayed the 2,000 years, like you said. So there's no change in what the promise is, and that's what Peter, 2 Peter talks about, is that God's promises are still going to happen, so don't worry. It's just that his timing is different than our timing. And it's not something that we see it as God dealing with Israel and the kingdom coming in and then all of a sudden wedging the church, the body of Christ in there, but that God's plan is one continuous timeline. And he knew this from the beginning to the end, that was what was going to happen. But we understand it in our terms that Israel was supposed to see that tribulation coming in and then the kingdom, but God changed his plans, that's how we see it, and now brought the body of Christ in. Because Israel rejected that kingdom offer. And it's the same thing when they're in the wilderness. They rejected going into the promised land, so what did God do? And from our viewpoint, he changed his plans and made them wander for 40 years. So they're wandering in the desert, in a sense, is what they're doing now. They're wandering in the desert, waiting for that to go into the promised land. But in the meantime, though, we have a different gospel that's being preached. Paul is going to be preaching the gospel of grace. Once he starts preaching the gospel of grace, any believer, I believe, is going to follow him and go into have a heavenly hope instead of that kingdom hope. That kind of makes sense? Barely?
Yeah, I was trying to get my arms around it, and I was thinking for a while that at the stoning of Stephen, even though there was people who were the apostles, for example, who were still were saved under the gospel of the kingdom, and they were still in Jerusalem, and they were told not to go out of Jerusalem until the nation came around, that they didn't change, become part of the body of Christ, but one of the thoughts was that there was nobody else that was actually saved under the gospel of the kingdom during that time period.
Oh, okay, yeah. I believe that they were still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Nothing, there's no reason that they wouldn't, because they weren't told to stop. But there were things changing, and when Saul was saved, at that point in time, he was the first one into the body as a pattern for everyone else that follows. And so I think all those that followed were going into the body, even though they didn't understand that.
There's like a 3-year period of time to fall without getting instruction. So there's 3 years that you have to be under the kind of the
The old program? Uh-huh. You're right, and there were actually a lot of people who were hearing the gospel of the kingdom getting saved while Paul was 3 years off getting instruction. He wasn't, you know, remember he got saved, he ran back into Damascus and started preaching what Christ did for him, but that wasn't the gospel of grace he was preaching, he was just witnessing to what God did for him. He didn't learn about the gospel of grace until later, and he comes back actively preaching 3 years later. And now he knows about the gospel of grace, but what happens to these people that came in after Paul? The indication is that anyone that came in and got saved is going to come in following Paul as that pattern. So that pattern was set by Paul. And when Paul set the pattern now for that new salvation under the church, the body of Christ, anyone that's hearing this gospel, even though they heard the gospel of the kingdom, I believe would be brought in under Paul. God can put any person in any container he wants. They're saved either way. And so God has decided to put them into the body of Christ boxcar, and they're headed for heaven. That's how I look at it anyway. Now, I'll have to admit, it's hard to prove that, and there's few verses that really show us exactly what's going on, but there are indications, especially with Paul being a pattern for those that follow him. 1 Timothy 1. And it talks about that. Paul is our pattern. He's a pattern of the church, the body of Christ. And if you understand him as being a pattern, anyone else that follows that is going to be following what Paul is. He's the trailblazer. He's moving ahead. He's the one that everybody else is following now. The church, the kingdom is no longer a viable option for Israel. So it's not. That's why it's fading off here. So that kingdom, the gospel kingdom, is going to be fading off as word gets out about it. It takes a while for people, you know, remember Paul when he was preaching, if this is the Mediterranean, he went preaching, and as he's going along here, going up into Rome, if this is Rome here, He's moving along, and we see that now he says I'm going to the Gentiles. He always gave Israel the opportunity to be saved. Some people read that as being he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, or they read that as the gospel of the kingdom is being preached. Well, no, he was never taught the gospel of the kingdom. He was taught, which is, you understand that he's had a different message. Even Peter didn't understand it. And Peter, who was trained under God, under Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom, now Peter comes along, he starts preaching a different gospel, which one that Peter didn't understand and admits that it's hard to understand. As Paul is preaching the gospel of grace, as he's moving through here, it's a geographical change, and it's a geographical thing where he's reached this area he talks to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. He's talking to the Jews first because in God's mercy he's giving them an opportunity to accept the gospel of grace, and he compares this in Romans, when he talks about it in Romans 9, 10, 11, he talks about this in terms of given. They have the opportunity to be saved as Paul was saved. So Paul was the one who got saved, and if there's no reason that they can't get saved like Paul was saved as a Jew. Paul was saved. How was Paul saved? What gospel did he hear? Gospel of the kingdom. That's the only gospel that was out there at that point in time. Anyone hearing the gospel of the kingdom before Paul was raised up was also saved, even though there's a gap of time. Paul was preaching as he went along up into Rome, still preaching to the Jew first, at least till the end of Acts, but he's preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And he's giving Jews that opportunity now, as they heard the gospel of the kingdom, now they're hearing the gospel of the grace of God. And so he's calling them into to believe on Jesus Christ now, not as Messiah, but as their Savior. So there's a lot of changes going on here that are very confusing, and that's what we're going to be seeing here as we move along, beginning with that stoning of Stephen, who defined now a turning point in Israel. God is turning away from Israel, and I was showing that and hopefully making that connection by showing you that if people wanted to get saved, they had to come into Israel. They had to come in through Israel in order to get saved, in order to have God, or to meet God. If they're going to have anything to do with God, they had to come in through Israel. That's why I read these verses at the beginning. But now, and as you read in Romans 3, we're seeing a change, and we're seeing Paul talking about the things that are changing now. Romans 3:21, but now, and remember, when Paul talks about the but nows, he's talking dispensationally in many cases, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So, now apart from the law, in other words, we're not under the Jewish constraints anymore. The law was given to the Jews. It's not about the law. It's about how God is dealing with all people. It's not with Israel alone. And also, if we take a look at verse 28, just a little farther down, he says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So there's a change. Paul is always talking about this change. We're going from how God defined works for Israel and what they had to do. They had to come to Him. They had to obey the law. And it all had to come through the nation of Israel. But now, Paul is talking about these changes. These changes are happening away from Israel. And that's what I think a lot of people miss, is the distinction between Israel and the church, the body of Christ. Take a look at Romans 10:12. And here he makes it very clear that once there was a distinction, but now there's not. He says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him." That is a huge change. And we had to, and without understanding these verses we read earlier, how Israel had to come, or people had to come into Israel to meet God, now they don't have to. They don't have to, there's no distinction now. God isn't splitting and saying Israel is important, but they're saying that now anyone can come to God, and you come to God as individuals. Ephesians 2:18. That we were just there a little while ago. Ephesians 2:18 brings out the changes that were occurring, those changes that had happened within Israel and our condition as Gentiles back during this time. For through Him we have, and then he goes on here and he says, "For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father," and that's going through Jews and Gentiles. Now, not only the Jews have access, but we have access, and it's something that's opened up and has changed dramatically, so that it's not just the Jewish nation, and it's not God dealing with the Jews only, and that people had to come to the Jews only. No, there's a huge change that happened, and it happened at that stoning of Stephen, when Israel was no longer able to go into that kingdom. That rejection that they had now is playing out in this manner. And again, all these changes that are going on are very confusing. It's hard to deal with all the changes that are going on. The few verses that I hang my hat on, the one especially talks about Paul as being our pattern. Paul makes it very clear that he now has, it's his gospel. And if you read about his good news, that good news is contained in his 13 books. That good news that he's preaching is what's for the church, the body of Christ. That change that we can see here between Israel and the church, the body of Christ, is so distinct. And when you look at it, you wonder how anyone could be confused about it. It's this idea that there is a huge change between Israel and the church, the body of Christ. God is dealing completely in a different manner. He's not dealing with us in terms of the law like He did with Israel. He's dealing with us in terms of grace. And if you look at that gospel that is being preached, it's completely different than what was being preached by Peter, James, and John to Israel. And so there's a complete distinction here that people somehow blend them together and try to mash them up. And really just confuses this whole thing. We need to separate these things out into their individual components and understand what is for Israel and what is for the church, the body of Christ. And when you do that, then Scripture becomes much more clear. When you separate Paul's 13 books as written to the church, the body of Christ, then it starts making a lot more sense. And you can start seeing how Paul is dealing with the church, the body of Christ, in a completely separate way than God was dealing with Israel back before this fall.
I think it just proves how important it is to understand the whole Bible in a rightly dividing sense. Because if you go back to the Tower of Babel, God was dealing with man, Gentiles, for roughly 2,000 years, and he gave up on him. He basically put Gentiles on the shelf. So what he did after stoning Stephen and turning to Paul, so many people have a hard time thinking, you know, recognizing this, and thinking that God can really do this. But yet, that wasn't the first time. He did it back to the Gentiles. Now he's doing it to the Jews. So if you understand, how God has operated all along, it makes it much more believable and understandable.
And we'll see when we get to Romans 11 that it was God putting both the Jews and the Gentiles under condemnation, locking them up, basically, if you will, in sin, and saying that, look at, they both failed. The whole world failed. Even when I raise up a nation to be my nation, they failed. And so that's what Romans 11 is showing, that failure that of the whole world to recognize what God has for them. So that failure is... Now God changed his dealings with mankind, moving away from the Gentiles in the past, before Israel, moving away now from Israel and just taking the whole world as individuals, that they would come to him as individuals, making no distinction at all between especially Jew and Gentile. There's no distinction. They're all sinners. And Paul treats them as sinners, but all sinners that can come to God individually. Now it's interesting, I find it interesting anyway, if you take a look and look up Peter, the name Peter. Peter's name comes up 56 times in the first half of the book of Acts. And of course it's Peter's ministry. Peter's the head of the disciples. And if you did the name searches for the rest of the disciples, you'd come up with probably 100, 200 times that the disciples are referenced or so on. But we see that dropping down very quickly. And it follows this pattern here of Israel as we go through the book of Acts. This low point here would be the end of Acts, Acts 28. And we're seeing that the disciples are going, dropping down, down, down until Peter is not even mentioned in the last half of Acts. After, I think, Acts 15, Peter's name doesn't even show up. Which is really, if you think about it, isn't that kind of amazing that the man who was with Jesus for the 3 years, the man who was the head of the disciples, who people raise up to be the most important group of men ever, they, all of a sudden, it's gone. Peter's name disappears. And whose name pops up? Obviously, Paul's name pops up. In fact, Paul's name shows up in the last half of Acts 156 times. Now that says something right there, that there's a focus shift through the book of Acts. And that focus is obviously shifting from the ministry of the disciples to the ministry of Paul. And so that change in going in from Jesus' earthly ministry to Jesus' heavenly ministry, there's a complete distinction there that is being drawn, and almost an obvious one. And if you take a look at... we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back here, and then we have the 13 books of Paul here with Acts in the middle. It's interesting that the first half of Acts basically covers Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the things that were going on there, but the last half of the of the Bible. The 13 books of Paul, they end up showing up in the last half of Acts. And you can see that Acts is basically split between the two programs. And what Acts does is actually bridge between one or the other. If you take the book of Acts out, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then jump into Romans, boy, wouldn't that be confusing? And most people seem to... the biggest problem people take is taking the book of Acts without the surrounding books. They try to get their theology out of the book of Acts, but not understanding the content or that transition. Well, that's a good word. Let's use that. The transition that is happening between you got a star between the Gospels and Paul's books. And when you see what the Gospels are presenting and what ministry is going on there, and then you see the ministry of Paul, and then you take a look at Acts, you can see that Acts is obviously a transition book. And it's transitioning between Jesus Christ's earthly ministry and his heavenly ministry, the disciples and Israel, and then we see that going into the church, the body of Christ, and individuals. And so that's where we're at with Acts. Bring your notes back for next week, and we will cover the rest of this. It's important. This is so important to understand this changeover at this point. If you put the changeover in Acts 2, it becomes very confusing because we still have Israel still top dog, and these changes don't happen until Stephen is stoned. So let me close in prayer.